T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's hour two of Sabres Live. Lindy Ruff about to be reintroduced as head coach of the Sabres. With Marty, I'm Brian, and we're moments away from the presser at KeyBank. Marty.
I feel like because we're doing 2 hours, I should say good morning, because those 2 hours used to be in the morning back in the days, and now it's middle of the afternoon. But yes, hour two, and Lindy will talk to the media, and so is Kevin Adams. So it'll be interesting. A lot of people downtown already, media, players, staff. So yeah, KeyBank Center is buzzing right now. And I can't wait to hear what Lindy has to say, just because, again, I want to see, you know, what he thinks of this team and how it can be better, and how next year they're playing in the first round of the playoffs because of the idea that he sees and how to move this forward as a coach. So that's what I want to hear today. And so I'll hang up and listen.
Well, that's okay. That actually sounds appealing.
To hang up and listen?
Yes.
I wonder what people, why people always say that, but you hear it so often that you're like, that's probably the awkward way to, hey, like, you don't know how to end your conversation with the host on radio. So you're like, oh, I'll hang up and listen. But then you're still on the phone listening. You didn't really hang up because you want to hear what they're going to say.
Yeah, that was always the amusing part for me doing that, was just like seeing how long people were waiting on hold. And then even after they've been on air, like, you recognize that they're not dropping the line because it's their only way to listen in. Like, they might be out of an area where the car signal didn't pick it up. It's like, oh, I got to hear the answer, right? So we appreciate the loyalty and the dedication of fans who obviously, you know, are with it through thick and thin. And I think that's the, you know, again, it's part of the energy that is being felt right now with Lindy being hired again yesterday, and the fact that, you know, he's getting... It's hard to explain. I mean, the number of games that this man has already been involved in with the Buffalo Sabres as a player and as a coach. The fact that, based on his ranking in NHL history for games and wins and things like that, made him a candidate once again after all this time is quite remarkable, isn't it?
It's quite remarkable. There is coaches that have returned to their former teams. In the National Hockey League, you think of Paul Maurice with Carolina, Daryl Sutter with Calgary, Claude Julien in Montreal. There has been others, right, that have returned. Jacques Lemaire in New Jersey, they have returned. But usually they return within, like some of them have returned within 4 or 5 years, 5, 6 years. It's like, oh, like, but coming back a decade later, usually that coach isn't in the league anymore because they've moved on, right? But Lindy, the fact that he was so young when he was here as a head coach, still a young man in the game and one of the better coach in the National Hockey League at this moment, in my opinion, that is why he was on my list. We discussed right away, as soon as the move was made to part ways with Don Granato, I had a list of 5 names, and two of them were, could go that way. 3 of them were, these are serious candidates. And Lindy was one of the 3 that were serious candidates.
So the presser at KeyBank.
First thing I'd like to do is thank Donny Granato, Jason Christie, and Matt Smith for their tenure with the Sabres. Donny told me, I'm sorry that I let you, Kevin, our fans, and our players down. That's goes to show you what kind of guy Donnie is. He has left the Sabres in a better place. and we appreciate that. We're here to talk about the future, but I do want to mention the past. Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff are two men prominent in Sabres history. They both lost their jobs as coaches with the Sabres, which connects them in that manner. One has a Stanley Cup ring, one without. Lindy, the man without the ring, in most Sabres fans' eyes, is probably a scape laid on a line away from winning a cup, and then went on to coach that team that tore his heart out in the Stanley Cup final afterwards. That had to be hard to do. And how about the rash of defensive injuries that the Sabres team incurred late in the playoffs that cost us possibly, cost Lindy, possibly a second ring, for all we know. And the team that beat him in those playoffs, that's Kevin's ring. Lindy has coached three different teams to 50 wins or more in the National Hockey League. There are four coaches all time who have done that, and Lindy's one of them. New Jersey won 27 games one year and 52 the next. It was a young team. The Sabres back in the day, when he was here his first stint, went from 37 wins one year to 52 and 53 the 2 years following. What I'm trying to get at here is the line between winning and losing in the National Hockey League is a fine line. Some guys have cups because they got lucky. Some guys have cups because they were good. Some don't have cups because the breaks didn't go their way. Lindy, President's Trophy with the Sabres, Jack Adams Award, 571 franchise victories with the Sabres, second most in the league all time to Al Arbor. When he was released his last time here as our head coach, he had participated in 54% of Sabres games all time. Most importantly, Lindy knows how to win, and he knows how to take a team to another level. He may be the most competitive person I've ever met in my life. Just go fishing with him, and you may not ever go fishing with him again. He's also not going to ask anyone to do something that he wouldn't do himself. So I welcome Lindy as our next head coach, and Kevin Adams is going to come up and say a word.
Well, I agree with everything Terry said, except when he's talking about the 06 team, for obvious reasons. Terry, thank you for that. I want to thank Laura for being here and the entire Pegula family. And a week ago, I outlined exactly the criteria that I was going to look for as we began the search for the next head coach. I met with players individually in exit meetings. I met with the team entirely as a group. Met with smaller groups over a couple days, and coming out of those meetings felt even stronger about what we needed to bring in, and that was an experienced head coach, someone with a track record of success, pedigree, someone that could stand up in front of our group and take them to the next level, as Terry mentioned. And began the process of talking to many different candidates that check those boxes. It's been an exhausting week working around the clock. And with each conversation I had, and there were many, I kept coming back to another conversation with Lindy and feeling stronger hour by hour that this was the man who is right to step into this role and become the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. And I want to make one thing very clear. It is tremendous that Lindy has a long storied history in the Buffalo Sabres organization. It's terrific that he is connected to the city of Buffalo and the Western New York community. But that's really just an added bonus. He's the right person for this job, and I truly believe that he is the person that's going to take us to the next level. Our players are craving it, we're excited about it, and the hard work begins now. So I want to reintroduce the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, Lindy Ruff.
Welcome, everybody. The first thing I'd like to do is thank Terry Pegula and family and Kevin Adams for entrusting me with getting the Sabres to that next level. I'm super excited to be given the opportunity. As Kevin said, the team is about now. It's about taking a young group that has developed over the years, have gotten themselves within, I believe at this time last year, 1 point of being in the playoffs, a team that has a tremendous amount of talent. It'll be my opportunity to put these guys in the right position, use their strengths to get them to that next level. Part of that will be commitment on their part. Part of that will be the connection that we're going to develop from a coaching staff, from a management to coaching to players, that we're going to be committed from day one. We're going to be connected. This is, if you're going to be a successful hockey club now, there's got to be alignment between players, coaches, and an understanding of how we need to play. And the last part of that is being consistent with that play night in, night out. The next part is the players in a position now where they can ask more of each other. They know where they've been. They know where they got to get to. They know what they need to expect out of each other. Here's what I want from them. I want them to love playing here. I want them to love playing for each other. And I want them to love being a Buffalo Sabre for Sabre fans that I think are some of the greatest in the league. How are we going to get there? We're going to have to earn it. From day one, the work is going to have to start now. We're going to have to earn it. We're going to have to step on the ice when the season starts and earn the respect of everybody and get to that next level. But again, I'll just say that really excited. I'm humbled by the opportunity to be standing here right now. And it was a decision when Kevin first contacted me. I didn't say yes right away. We had a lot of discussions. And just understanding with all these conversations the discipline that's going to have to go into getting us to that place. And discipline is for players is you have to do the right thing at the right time. Do the right thing at the right time, whether that's training this summer, coming to camp, knowing that each day you're going to have to become a better player, and knowing that you're going to get pushed to a level that will make us achieve the goal we want to achieve. And that is getting to the next level. So I just want to thank you all, and I'm just going to reiterate again. Super excited. And I might just add this. I've missed Paul Hamilton and Mike Harrington, and that's the reason I'm back.
Well, after that, I guess I have to start, right, Lindy? Welcome back, first of all.
Thank you.
A bit of a surreal moment for all of us, probably. Tell me this. You know, Terry referenced the 54% of games you played in your career here before you left. You won a lot of games as a coach and a player. This franchise was a winning franchise for the first 40 years of its existence. Obviously, things have turned now. You had a lot of teams here that expected to win. Now this team is trying to hope to win. How do you help transform the culture of a losing organization, sort of what you had to do in Dallas and New Jersey? What are the biggest things you can do early on to just transform the attitude completely with this club?
It's a great question, Mike. That is not easy. You transform the attitude of any of the club by having each player believe in what their strength is, what they can bring on a nightly basis, the level of compete that they can bring, and then at the end of the night, you got to win hockey games. And when you win hockey games, that belief really becomes contagious. You like how you play, and you push your teammates to a higher level, and you have to win.
Lindy, congrats being back.
Thank you, Paul.
You look at what you had. I remember you had a group of guys that came up together, Miller, Roy, Pominville, the whole group, Bannock. And here you come into Buffalo, and you've got kind of the same situation. You have a very group of young guys who are all coming up together. How much different is it now than maybe when you dealt with Vanek or dealt with Derek Roy or something like that? And the second question is, it wouldn't be a press conference with me and Mike unless we ask you who your goaltender is.
I've got it down to three letters. UPL. you know, a real good question. And, you know, you mentioned some names. I had three of those names you mentioned reached out to me. Jason Pominville, Ryan Miller, Thomas Vanek. And they all said, you're the guy that can get him there. Congrats. And I think if you remember, I was pretty hard on like a Thomas Vanek. Thomas Vanek and I have had lots of great conversations, you know, about playing days and you know, Jason Pominville, we actually waived him and sent him down just before he became the player he was. So this team is so similar to where we were at back then. Deep with talent. We needed to play the game the right way. And again, I'm going to reference the discipline in the game. Not all players are going to be the same. Not all players are going to be... But understanding your role inside the team and executing your role will help the team win. We were deep, like three, four lines deep. We were three lines deep, and then I had two or three really good, useful tools that we could lean on people with. From, you know, Rob Ray, Andrew Peters, and Adam Mayer, guys like that. When I look at the level of skill on the team and that group that we went in 05 or 06, it reminds me a lot. This team actually reminds me a lot of the previous team I just came from. A lot of really good, talented players.
Lenny, John Worrell, AP. Welcome back.
Thanks, John.
It's one thing to go to Jersey. It's one thing to go to Dallas. But given your background and knowing how difficult or how much this franchise has endured for 13 years and 11 years since your departure, how much is this personal to turn this franchise around knowing that it's Buffalo?
Well, there is some personal there for sure. Obviously I've lived in this city and I've owned a house in this city since 1979. So I think I understand from my playing days to my coaching days, what a successful team and how great this city is when you have a successful hockey club.
and really enjoyed all that time, enjoyed the time as a player and enjoyed the time as a coach. And it would mean a lot to have this group of players experience what I was able to experience as a player and as a coach, that this building shook in some of the playoff series that involved with. I can still remember the 8-0 Philadelphia win and sitting in the office and thinking the building shaking. It's incredible. So my goal is to have these guys, this group, experience what I was able to experience.
Welcome back, Alex Brasky, Batavia Daily News. You've made other stops since your first stint here, but what would you say has changed about Lindy Ruff, the coach, since your first stint here in Buffalo?
The game has changed so much. Lindy Ruff has changed so much. I've been around some great coaches, from world championships I've gone to the Olympics in Russia, and traded ideas with, you know, some of the best coaches in the league. Was able and fortunate enough to win, to be part of the coaching staff that won the gold medal in Sochi, and to win it in a fashion where they said that Canada won't be able to play in the big ice, they won't be good enough defensively, and as a staff we put together a plan that we were the best defensive team there. We were the best team, and with highly skilled players. So when you look at a group like we have here, highly skilled players, you can execute that highly skilled part of the game. You can use it for offense. You can use it for defense. But you have to have the discipline inside the game to do the right thing at the right time. And sometimes that's puck decision. Sometimes it's, well, maybe we don't need one more goal at this time, but we may be able to win this game 2-0 and not put a lot of risk in our game. So my coaching style from when I left here, I actually laugh at some of my coaching style because a lot of things have changed. But I won't go into a lot of detail, but I'm a lot better coach now than I was when I left.
Lindy, Lance Lysowski from the Buffalo News. You mentioned that you had several questions for Kevin when he first contacted you. I was wondering if you would be able to explain sort of the back and forth about the conversations that made you consider this opportunity, and what about the personnel, the roster, really intrigued you about coming back here?
Well, first about the roster, again, I'll just reiterate that the team does remind me a lot of, you know, coming out of lockout in 05-06, and a lot of similarities. The conversations with Kevin were, you know, just coming off of being let go in New Jersey and you know, seeing a coach get let go here. And I was questioning myself, you know, why would I do this? Then I came to a point, why wouldn't I? Because I'm a risk taker. and I think if there's no risk, there's no reward. So I'm putting myself in that position.
Actually, I have a question for Kevin. Kevin, can you take us through your timeline? Was Lindy at the top of your list? Was he your first choice? And how many people did you speak to?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said to you all last week at the press conference that it was going to go to work immediately walking out of there, which I did. And certainly when I laid out what I was looking for, you start making a list. And obviously, Lindy is someone that checked those boxes and was on that list. And there were others. And I spoke to double-digit candidates. But I also, as I mentioned, I really appreciated those conversations. As I was going through it, and some of these were late night phone calls, some of these were really early morning, this was around the clock for a week straight, I just kept coming back to the conversations with Lindy. And as he started to dig in even more to our team and the opportunity that he saw and the potential he saw in this group, I mean, Lindy Ruff would not be sitting up here if he did not believe this team could win. That's why he's here. He's here to win. The past is the past. That's great. But this is about now. This is about the players in that locker room now. This is about the fans that come in here and can believe in something great. That's why he's sitting here. And that's what I saw as, and I felt as I had those conversations. So there was a lot of really highly qualified candidates, but every hour that went by, I felt more and more strongly. And after, you know, in-depth conversations with Terry, this was our guy.
Hi, Lindy. Matt Bove with Channel 7 in Buffalo. Congratulations over here, probably to your right, yeah. One of the themes last week when we were in the locker room for locker room cleanout less than a week ago was accountability, and that these players want to be held accountable to you. What does accountability mean?
Accountability to me starts with the player himself. That first thing he does is holds himself accountable. That did I do enough to get this team to where it needed to go? Before you can be accountable or look for accountability from somebody else, you got to be accountable to yourself, whether it's your training in the summertime, whether it's your preparation for camp, whether we get to game one, are you ready to play? You hold yourself accountable. The next level of accountability when you become a good team is the players themselves will hold each other accountable. They will say that, you know, that play wasn't good enough. You need to be there. You need to be on the wall. You need to block that shot for me. That's a game changer. The last part of it is the coach who just can't yell and scream at players anymore. You can't just say, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you don't play this. Will be the way we grow is believing in the way we play. If we don't play like that, my biggest tool is to take ice time away. My greatest tool is you're playing really well, you get more ice time, you're going to be that guy I'm going to count on, you're going to take that key face off, you're going to be on there in the last minute, you're going to be on for every empty net. And I believe that your best player should be on the ice at all key moments. That your top players should be the guys that lead the way. That first, they're accountable to themselves first. Accountability is a big word. And accountability starts with each player taking a look in the mirror.
Hi, Lindy. Joe Yerden with Bleacher Report here. Congratulations. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You have a pretty full staff of assistant coaches here. Are you looking to add to that? And do you have a process that you're looking to do that?
It really just starting to get into that. I actually sat with the coaches this morning. The coaches that are here had, you know, what seemed like a couple hours when you sit down and start talking to coaches about players and team and how the season went. But the question is looking to add for sure. Looking to get all the pieces in the right place would be my second part that will make us one of the best staffs.
Hi, Lindy. Rachel Hopmeyer, Spectrum News over here. Hi. Curious, as a follow-up to Lance's question, more about the last few months you've had since parting ways with New Jersey. Was your next coaching opportunity on your mind? Were you fiending for something like this, or did it more so just fall in your lap?
You know, when you let go, you have a period of time where you don't know what you're going to do, but I think there's an understanding that I've gone a lot of different places to keep coaching. I've been a life coach. I probably did what no other coach would do is be let go from a team and then take an assistant coaching job somewhere else. And part of that was to continue to grow. I love the game. It might be a disease. As Terry said, I'm highly competitive. I'm competitive in whatever you want to do. And I think the players will understand that. We'll have a lot of fun with the compete. Inside the game, outside the game, in the locker room. Because if you love competing, you can compete in a lot of areas. So, you know, initially, yeah, I was thinking, yeah, probably if the right opportunity came, I'd get back into coaching again.
Lindy, Jason Moser, Buffalo Hockey Now. As part of the large contingent that grew up in the Buffalo area, I've had a lot of family and friends ask me to say hi. So, first of all, hi. Second of all, what do you say to these fans that are yearning for a playoff team? It's been a long time.
The only thing we can say is when we hit camp, we're going to prove that we're going to get to the next level. My point about, you know, you got to love playing the game. You got to love the teammates. Got to love playing for each other. And then the last part, when you're winning hockey games, you love playing for your fans. You love playing for the city, because they get in behind you and they push you and they motivate you, and it's just an extra source of motivation. There's a lot of pressure inside the game. There's a lot of pressure outside the game. There's media pressure. There's family. There's friends. There's a lot of, so the players have to enjoy being part of the group, and they've got to enjoy the wins. They've got to enjoy the great moments inside the game, whether that's blocking a shot, a big penalty kill. It's not always about scoring goals. It might be a big hit. It might be a great back check. There's a lot of different things. But what I say to the fans is we got to go out and win hockey games. We got to get to that next level.
Hi, Coach. Sarah Holland with Channel 4 here in Buffalo. Congrats again on returning back to Buffalo. We heard from a lot of guys in locker cleanout just past the last week that they would be excited to have you as the next head coach. Alex Tuck comes to mind, said it would be a dream come true to have you here. What is that like, knowing that prior to becoming head coach, you just had full support from some of the players here?
He might say after the first week, "Oh, I was wrong on that one." I think they're going to, and it's great. I mean, obviously, we all want to win. And this is a wee thing. This is really what I'm going to emphasize. This will be a coaching staff wee thing. We will have to be successful. We have to earn the players' respect, and this is how we're going to play, and this is the level of accountability we'll hold you to. Knowing that if we're going to be the team that we want to be, this is the way we have to play the game, and this is the way we're going to operate from day one moving forward.
Kevin, you were on Lindy's coaching staff. How much did you draw on that when you were thinking about this and deciding, you know, you've been in coaching meetings and that type of thing with him. How much did you draw on that experience?
Yeah, it played a role. I spent 4 years as part of Lindy's staff, 2 years as a player development role where I was in with him and doing more on the skill side, and then 2 years as an assistant coach. So that's 4 years of learning, of seeing Lindy day in and day out, the way he leads, the way that he challenges the players to be the best version of themselves, but also cares about them. And that, to me, is one of the most important parts now, is the modern-day coach, is building relationships, but being able to also be firm and hard when you need to. And then also one of the things that I learned, in my time with Lindy, was that he was very good with non-negotiables within a system. You know, we're going to agree about it. We're going to talk about it. Lindy, the coaches, the players are going to talk about it. But when we agree, then we're doing that, and we're going to hold you to it. So those are some of the things that, of course, as I went through the process and talked to different candidates, I had that, that trust and that relationship. It matters. But that isn't the reason, ultimately, as I went through it, because there's tremendous amount of coaching candidates out there, it just, for me, came back to this is the right coach for this team to win, and to win now. And that's our goal, to win hockey games. That's what matters. And the us knowing each other and the trust and going back to those years, that's great. But it's not really about that. It's about winning.
Hey, Lindy, Adam Bonini. Welcome back. Congratulations.
Thanks, Adam.
I wanted to touch on something that Kevin just said. We had talked about it in the news conference last week, that balance he just talked about between hard-nosed kind of accountability and the modern approach to coaching. One of the last conversations you and I had in 2013 prior to you leaving was you were working to kind of evolve to that. Take me through, whether it was an assistant with New York or maybe your time in Dallas or in New Jersey, how have those experiences impacted that evolution to making you the coach you are now as you return?
Well, I think setting off, first leaving and having a new group to work with, and knowing that when I left, I really felt that where I was at in my coaching career wasn't good enough. So when I left for Dallas, I needed to change some stuff. I felt like I didn't need to go in the dressing room after every game. I didn't need to go in and critique the players on, you know, whether it was a loss and let the dust settle. Got to Dallas and really decided I'm going to change from this. I want to be a guy that can communicate really well with the players. I want to be able to get along, be demanding, but be fair. And I think that's the part that's most important, and the part that they're going to respect the most is expect a lot, be consistent with your message. The ability for me to let games go, I thought, you know, let it go, you know, move on to the next game, was an area that I thought I had to get better at. And I think really going to New York as an assistant and just, you know, not a lot of pressure and no media, didn't have to really talk to anybody. I get to work the extra players out, get to spend extra time, just stay current with players. You know, I'll give you one example of, I won't mention the player, but I had a player I wanted to get an autograph from. I asked him for the autograph and autographed it, and it looked like, you know, just sort of kindergarten writing. And I said, you know, could you do that in like cursive? And he goes, Coach, we use digital stuff now. We don't use cursive anymore. So I had to live with what that autograph looked like. And actually the person I gave it to thought I did it. I said, no, I didn't do it. But it's an example. It's like calling a player now and voicemail. The person you've reached does not have voicemail set up. Well, you text now all the time. And actually texting has a useful purpose for me because it's easy to trade. I want a player to text me. I don't mind that. I'll trade conversations. It's easier. It's what young kids do now.
Lindy, it's Lance in the Buffalo News again. Curious that in New Jersey, obviously, it was also a younger team. What was the key to getting younger players to understand and fill specific roles in a group, and what role did that play, do you think, in the success that you guys had last season specifically?
Well, again, you look at, you know, where we came from, where we ended up last season. Are you talking this season or the previous season? Yeah, well, I mean, we had a heck of a year ago. And it was just the right time for that group. I might be sitting here being one of the luckiest coaches because this might be the right time where all these guys just take that next step, that they understand that if we get a little bit better in this area, let's say our face-off percentage gets a little bit better and we have the puck a little bit more, we're a little bit more willing to get inside shot lanes and a few more pucks don't get to the net. All those little 1 and 2 percenters made a huge difference. That as a coaching staff there, the simplest stuff keeps adding up. Stick on puck, put the stick in the ice, stick on puck, don't let him make that play, turn your feet sideways. Come back to your own end and stop, which every kid is taught from day one. Just these are all a bunch of just little 1 percenters that just kept adding up. And in Jersey, it led to, we had a really good training camp. I'll just reference a year ago. We lost the first 2 games of the year, which were disappointing. Then we won, I think, 13 straight. And when you do that and you remain consistent, and we remain consistent really throughout the year, we became a good team.
Welcome back. You mentioned your passion is almost a sickness. I'm curious, how much coaching do you feel like you have left in you?
I take it one day at a time. So I got one more day. No, I just I love the game. That's really all I can tell you. I get asked that every time I go somewhere or leave somewhere. Well, how much more? How long? I don't know. I'm just going to keep coaching. It's what I've done my whole life. It's what Adam Bonini's done as well. He's a sportscaster. How much longer, Adam?
Not much. Lindy, Mike Catalano from WHM in Rochester. Your last time here, you had a lot of players who had had big experience in the AHL and in the playoffs and moving forward, leading into the NHL. I know you got a lot going on right now, but how much will you be keeping an eye on that, what those guys are doing down there for their future experience to come up and be part of your team in Buffalo?
Yeah, I'll be keeping a real sharp eye on that. I mean, usually the strength of any club is their parent farm club and the kids that are being developed down there and have come up. And you know, just go back to the history here when I was around. That's where they all came from, the Vanix, the Palmanvilles. They all came from that system.
Lindy, hi, welcome back. Dave Reichert from NBC News Radio. I just wanted to, first of all, welcome you back, but secondly, ask you, with the similarities between this team and the team you just came from, the Devils, have you thought about style play? I know you have a lot of young, fast players, offensive players, as you did on that team.
Yeah, the style of play will try to play a real fast game. Use your speed, use your talent. Every player has something to offer and a different skill set, but use that skill set to make us the best offensive team. We really had a team that had defense that were involved in the play to help create offense. And again, that will be a big part of it. But use that skill and use that speed to be a good defensive player too. Thank you.
Chris Bogdanovich, Fort Erie Observer. A passionate hockey team committed to winning doesn't happen in a vacuum. How do you feel about the role of the Buffalo fans in turning this big ship around?
I mean, it's a great question. Again, I think it falls on our group to get this to the next level. And as Kevin said, the time is now. It's now. You can reference, there's been a lot of really good hockey games out of this club, whether it's this year, last year. I think the part that has to go one level higher is just consistency. And our fans will be back. They're great fans.
Part of the evolution of the NHL these days is the implementation of analytics into the hockey world. How do you use those numbers when you apply it to coaching?
I love analytics. We are a huge analytics club in New Jersey. There's a fine line. Sometimes there's an eye test that goes along with analytics when we're, and we'll get into too deep, but I think when you look at some of the better teams and you look at where there are, even if you're just using expected goals and expected goals against, you know, whether you want to use entries or denied entries or, you know, for how you're playing and how are you creating opportunities or how are you giving up opportunities, part of that analytics is really good for maybe saying this player here, when you look at analytics, should, you know, maybe should not be playing with this other player. The numbers are there that support, boy, you guys have terrible results when these two players are together or when these two players and somebody else is on the ice. It's a tool. It's a tool I like to use, but I also like to pass the eye test at the same time.
Lindy, Rachel Hotmeyer again, Spectrum News. Without obviously all the analytics and tools in front of you, you've said this is a roster loaded with talent. I'm curious what excites you the most about what's been developed here so far.
Well, I think that every team needs a goaltender, and I think there's a couple really talented goaltenders that are working their way up here. And goaltending is probably the number one thing that every club needs. The second most important thing is usually defense. You can have highly skilled forwards, you can be a good offensive, but if you can't keep the puck out of your net or you don't have people that can move the puck or make that first pass, help you exit the zone in a hurry, then your good offensive players don't get the puck enough. So I would start with goaltending, and then I would start with a defense that I think is really good.
Lindy, you mentioned defense. Over here, in front of you. You mentioned defense and how you want them to play aggressively. I mean, this is a pretty deep defense core. What stands out about the blue line to you when you first kind of glance at it?
Hey, again, just the talent level, the puck moving ability, the ability to skate, which is really part of today's game. When you look at some of the good teams that have recently won, they've got one or two guys in that back end that are highly skilled and involved with all parts of the game, whether it's defending, whether it's offense. And I mean, you know, I can probably go to Dahlin as the guy that you look at and you marvel at the way he plays.
Kevin, you were very collaborative with Don Granato in terms of laying the foundation here. How much input do you expect Lindy to have on the roster, and how aggressively do you think you guys might spend this summer?
Well, I think, you know, just no decisions made in a vacuum. I've said that multiple times, and it's my style, first of all, to surround myself with people that are really challenging me, and I always talk to our staff about it's not about being right, it's about getting it right. So we need to get it right, and for sure, like, every decision that when you're talking about the roster, you're going to debate, and Lindy's going to have a big voice in that, because you need to be on the same page. Absolutely, that's a big part of it. And you know, we'll have those discussions now, you know, and that's part of the reason. When I got to the point where I felt strongly and I went to Terry and said, believe this is the right decision, the reason I was ready to move was because the work's now. And, you know, training camp in September isn't when we start. And that was the message to the players in the exit meetings, that it's now. And it's, this is part of it. So the work that we have to do, and with the other coaches, and it's all part of it. So in terms of spending, people get really focused on that. I, in my position, have been given every single resource to make this team the best it can be. For me, it's about winning. So we will do whatever it takes to win. I don't think about the spending part. Sometimes that goes hand in hand in how you build a roster, and you have to be disciplined. And obviously, when you have a young team and you're getting a core together, you're projecting contracts and signing extensions, all those things matter, but this is about winning.
Lindy, you've talked about evolution of your own career. I want to hear a little about this season. I mean, you never would have imagined you'd be here in October. You were coming off a 112-point season. It's well documented what happened in New Jersey with injuries and goaltending, which largely leads you to being here today. What do you think you take away from that in terms of just, you know, how fickle the game can be and how you just have to battle through things? Even as a coach at your age, what can you learn from a season like that that goes completely off the rails?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think I've drilled down into that season quite a bit already, where we faced a lot of adversity with, you know, first of all, we at one point lost Hughes and Heischer at the same time. You lose Dougie Hamilton for the year. Two of our veteran defensemen went the free agent route. Where we knew we were going to have to try to develop, you know, a Luke Hughes and a Simo Nemec, and we had three young defensemen with Kevin Ball, which I think, you know, that you're stepping back. We lost some players that, you know, I think hurt us. Even through the injuries, we were hanging around 500, a couple games over 5, I think at 1.56 games. And at the end, you know, I think our goaltending was—it was good at times. Sometimes it struggled, but we couldn't—you know—we couldn't maintain that level. So it was trying to find a way to win hockey games a different way a lot of nights. And we didn't win enough. I mean, I can look the second last game before I was let go. We we outshot Anaheim, I think, 55-23. Jack Hughes was given a penalty shot, or I chose Jack, put the guy pushing the net off with 2 seconds. And when Jack went down and stick handled and didn't even get a shot away, I kind of said to myself, I don't know if this is my year. But we did. We faced a lot of adversity that we weren't able to overcome. And that number of injuries and that number of changes, I think, you know, we knew that we were going to have a couple young defensemen in, but when Dougie Hamilton went out for the year, that added another young defenseman. So we lost some pieces, Mike, that were really important. But that's still a good hockey club.
Kevin, if I might ask, how, I know this process moved very quickly. How many candidates did you speak with, and how quickly did it just circle back that Lindy was the guy?
Well, you know, I think it's, in fairness to who I spoke to, certainly don't want to talk about specific individuals' names. I can tell you double digits. And don't take the fact that we're here a week later that we didn't go through an extensive process. I can tell you that these have been some long days, detailed conversations, and as I mentioned, I can't say that it was like, I don't remember the moment, but with each conversation and the times going back to Lindy and at times him calling me back and just us going through over and over, and just it snowballed into the point where I wanted to for sure make sure that I wasn't missing something and do my due diligence. That's my job. I have to be able to stand in front of our team, and I have to be able to sit up here confidently feeling that I did due diligence and this is the right person. So what I said last week, I couldn't tell you how long it was going to be, but when I felt confident to recommend that this is who should be the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, to Terry, that's what would happen, and here we are. So he's the right person.
Hi, Lindy. Matt Beauvais again from WKBW. Kevin mentions pretty often that he wants guys who want to be Sabres. In your opening introduction, you echoed something similar. You echoed getting drafted in 1979 by this organization. Can you put into words what the Buffalo Sabres mean to you?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'll say this again, I'm humbled by the opportunity I'm getting, because I get a chance to do something that I wasn't able to do as a player. Then I became the coach of the team and didn't succeed what I was set out to do, and now I'm getting one more opportunity, which I really feel I'm blessed to have that opportunity.
All right, there's Lindy Ruff on the heels of a lengthy reintroduction press conference with Marty. I'm Brian. We're going to take a quick break and then have a full recap of that before we hand it off to One Bills Live. Stay with us here on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.